Sister, woman, sister, can you still feel any pain? Or have they robbed you of your anger while putting Thorazina in your vein? Sister, woman, sister, have the walls grown up so high that you can't even dream of leaving, and you've forgotten how to fly? Oh, sister, woman, sister, did they take away your child and they locked her up in some juvenile hall to grow up weary and wild? Oh, sister, woman, sister, they won't let me come and see you no more.
Hi, I'm Irene Yarrow. This is Every Woman Space.
Hanging on my apartment door, reads a knock, but the door won't open. I seek, but I can't find you. I ask, but you can't hear me when I'm screaming. Sister, woman, sister, you cannot hear me when I scream.
This is a program by, for, and about women, all kinds of women. Lesbian, bisexual, heterosexual, celibate, undecided, and inactive. Well known or not known, no matter what our age, our race, class background, or work. This is a time for us to come together to talk and listen, explore our culture, and grow. And for communication, as much as possible, between me and my guests, between us and you out there. I always ask you to write me, and you do, and thank you, and please keep doing it. And I ask you, whenever we can, whenever we have time for phone calls, I ask you to call. And we haven't yet decided if we're going to do that tonight, so we'll let you know later. And tonight, the show has a very impressive title, which you heard if you heard the program announcements. The title is Tidal Wave, The Coming of Age of Young Women Before and After This Decade of Feminism. Now, that's a very impressive title that I thought of when I got very high, when I thought of doing the show. In fact, there are two of us sitting here, me, and I am 36 years old, and I represent women who grew up before, BC, that's before consciousness. And sitting opposite me is
Nina Kriegel, and I represent the younger coming of age. I don't know.
Right. Nina is 19, and I didn't tell her beforehand, but the AD is BC and AD.
Yeah.
The AD is after defiance. It's BC before consciousness and AD after defiance. And it's not my phrase. I heard Robin Morgan say it on a tape I was editing today. Anyway, I've wondered for a long time what it must be like to grow up, to reach your adolescence and to go through your teens at a time when the women's movement was already going strong, and also to be near geographically near it too. And Nina is a listener who writes me a lot of letters, and I thought I would ask her if she would like to come on the air with me and talk live about the different, what we want to do is talk about the differences between her growing up and my growing up and see how much difference the women's movement has really made. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight, and we may take calls later and we may not, as you said, depending on how brave we feel. And before we do anything, we're going to play a song that is about growing up, or about, it relates to the subject, and it's also about being strong, and it's going to give Nina courage. So this is Strong, Holly Near.
Mama taught me to be gentle, love the man the way I should. Pa taught me to be simple, love the world, live all I could. Sisters taught me pretty, and brother taught me smile. But who's gonna teach me to be strong? me to be a mother, love the kids that I did born. Simple taught me patience with the man who sang my song. Pretty was my daughter, and smiling was my son. But who's gonna teach them to be strong when the tears come?
Well, just to tell you a little bit about me before we get to the younger representative here. When I grew up, there was no such thing as the women's movement or feminism, though there had been the first wave of the women's movement back in the 20s when women got the vote. Everything kind of died down after that, and I didn't know anything about any possibilities for women other than what I call, and what we all call, the myth. The myth is that in order for women to be happy, for little girl, this is what little girls learn, little girls learned, all of us when I was little, you grow up thinking that you need a man to make you happy. And he's sometimes referred to as Prince Charming. But anyway, you are passive, and you need protection. You need a man to protect you and to make you happy in the world. The man will be your husband, and you will have babies, and you will have a role in life in which to move. And so you'll never have to question what you're really here for, because you're here to procreate and to bring up the next generation of human beings. And anything other than that is not really going to make you happy. And when I was growing up, I knew that there were women who chose other things. Some women chose careers, although most of the women who I knew who had chosen careers had chosen to be things like nurses or teachers, or sometimes social workers, but the very, very accepted roles for women. There were other women in the world I knew who were business women who went to business, and there were women lawyers, not very many, and there was an occasional woman doctor. But for the most part, women, if women didn't stick to the role they were supposed to have, which was mommy and wife, good wife, there just wasn't any way that they really were going to be happy. And the picture that was given to me was that the women who did go into these careers were really missing something in life, and that it really wasn't possible to combine a career and a family very well, because men didn't like women to work. Men liked women to stay home and take care of the children and them. And in fact, you couldn't be a good mother if you didn't stay home with the children. There was a raging debate over whether wives and mothers should work at all. And most people felt, no, they shouldn't. And I think that another thing was that if you wanted to have a career, then you shouldn't have children, because then you wouldn't be able to be selfless and give yourself to your kids the way you were supposed to. So that was the whole myth. And part of that myth also was that women were weak and stupid and dependent. And that was why they needed a man. And that was probably why also they needed the role of the wife and mother in order to just keep them going. Also, when I grew up, the images everywhere in the movies and in the magazines and on the commercials and in the books that I read, most of the books that I read, everywhere the images of women were either of good woman who was in this role that I've just described, or unhappy, barren woman who had chosen a career and didn't have kids, or bad woman. There were bad women in the world too, right? There were whores, and there were loose women, and there were all varieties of women who didn't get married but who slept around with men. And as far as I remember, there weren't lesbians in the world. I mean, I'm sure there were not lesbians in the world when I was growing up, as far as I was supposed to know about. That wasn't even an option in the realm of bad women. That just wasn't there at all. I never had a teacher in any class that taught me anything other than this. I was unfortunate in that I didn't have... I think a lot of girls who grew up in my generation did know women who had chosen careers and who were kind of happy in them. But for whatever reasons, because of what my family background was, I didn't know any of those. And I grew up wanting to be a writer. And that was, I didn't know any woman who wanted to do that either. I wasn't sure whether you could combine that with being a wife and a mother. As soon as I got to be a teenager, I decided that even though I liked to write, what was real, I realized that they were right, that the myth was right, that what was really going to make me happy was the baby and the husband. And I started working very, very hard to get them from the time I was 13. I was dating boys. And whenever a little kid would be over my house visiting, a little cousin or a little friend, I would get all soppy feeling and goppy eyed, and I would want a baby. And that didn't go away. And I eventually did grow up and get married and have babies. So, Nina, how is your experience different?
I didn't remember having any kind of feminist backgrounds as I was growing up, like in elementary school and everything. I mean, I read the, you know, Dick and Jane and Spot books, and the mother was waving through the kitchen window at, you know, dad and the son. And, oh, and the daughter was with her mother baking brownies while they were out baseballing or raking the leaves with the dog.
Uh-huh. That's when you were little.
That was when I was little. Mm-hmm. I was thinking back about teachers and stuff, and I don't remember any that gave me any good feelings about being a woman or anything. I don't really think they were really there. First grade, you go way back, first grade I had a teacher who was very responsive to me being that sweet little young thing, you know, that the teacher's pet, but not the, you know, the teacher's pet would be different for a boy, you know, he was just, would do errands for her and be smart and strong, and I was just sort of like sweet. I put my, you know, all my strength into being sweet, except when I was home. You know, that's when, you know, temper tantrums and all that. But I remember definitely feeling that I had to be sweet and really try. It was always trying for something.
So sweetness was like one of the main things.
Yeah.
Niceness.
Yeah, being nice and
pretty.
Yeah. But as I grew up, junior high school and stuff, I mean, it was rising to the surface that this was ridiculous. And I don't know why, I don't know anything specific that got me in that direction, except that as I grew up, I realized more and more that, I mean, even when I was playing, you know, with the Barbie doll stuff, I mean, I was into that heavy with Skipper and all those dolls. There was something that always didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Something always felt wrong, but at the same time, if you did that, then you were more accepted. And as I got older, I started thinking more and saying what I was thinking. I had the big mouth in the class. I was yelling and screaming about, you know, the Vietnam War, and kids in my seventh grade class weren't really that aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going, "Don't you realize what's happening?" You know, and it was, you know, leave me alone. You know, I touched upon everything that was supposed to be female. Like in junior high, I started using makeup and stuff, and I touched upon it. And I stopped.
You started using makeup when all the other girls your age did.
Yeah, I wanted to.
Do you know
very
what
much.
Made you stop?
It didn't feel right. It wasn't me. It was ridiculous. And also, I think my mother, in a way, gave me. She didn't like it at all. You're young. You don't have to wear stuff like that. You don't have to do that. And I knew she was right. You know. And I thought it was ridiculous to begin with. I mean, I thought, when you think about it, it's pretty ugly, you know?
Did you feel like your mother was coming from a feminist? Well, okay, you wouldn't have known that then.
Yeah.
Now, looking back, do you think that was from a feminist kind of a point of view, or from a you're too young to do that point of view, as you said?
I wouldn't know about You're Too Young. I would want to say that it was from a feminist point of view, because she didn't pull that on me, You're Too Young kind of thing. I think more than a lot of my friends, I had a mother. I have a mother.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. I have a mother who was, I forgot my train of thought, who was bringing me up in a more trusting way, you know. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like You're Too Young or I Don't Trust You kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There were times I remember things that she probably won't remember that rubbed me the wrong way in terms of You're Too Young kind of, not You're Too Young, but in that kind of vein. But basically, I was just growing up to be Nina as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I realize a lot now how much of me needs to be released. It's been kept, you know, down.
Do you think you grew up with as much of that myth as I described? I mean, did you grow up thinking that when you were an adult, you'd get married and have babies and be happy?
I never thought of that. I mean, I thought, you know, little kids, I'm sure I was a typical wonderful kid written up in the books, you know, how, you know, when I grew up, I want to be a mommy, you know, and I wanted to be a ballerina, you know, and stuff like that. But even the ballerina never really was very true to myself. I was saying it, but I'm not sure why I said it, but I know I was uneasy about saying I wanted to be one.
Even a ballerina, but a ballerina is not the same as growing up to be a wife and a mother.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a ballerina, you don't have time to be a wife and
that's,
a mother.
That's true.
You're dancing all day long.
I don't know. I never thought about the wife and mother thing much. I can't remember exactly what I thought about what I wanted to be, except maybe an artist, because my aunt was an artist. And when I'd walk into her house, the smells, the oil paints and the clay, and it's just, it's delicious, you know. Uh-huh. That was good feelings. That definitely hit something in me. Mm-hmm. But I never touched that until junior high school. And I was exposed to that, you know, when she was my mother's sister, and I was exposed to that for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I always was trying to be the things other than an artist, the mm-hmm. things that little girls were supposed to be, that my friends wanted to be, and to be friends with them, you know, you have to be like them, for mm-hmm. them to accept you. Mm-hmm. I didn't have this Prince Charming thing, but it was around me, with the Barbie dolls, with the movies. Mm-hmm. It was definitely there, mm-hmm. but I definitely didn't swallow it.
What happened, like, when you went to the movies and saw and watched television?
Television.
All of the, you know, the ends of all the movies are
yes,
the romantic
arm in arm.
Scene.
Like,
right.
They get
the
married.
Woman in the man's arms.
Yeah.
And
they still play those movies.
I know. But when you saw them, did you feel like they didn't do their work on you that they were supposed to do, and they didn't make you feel like that was your... That was what was going to make you happy in the end?
I didn't feel this is not for me, or I'm not going to, you know, swallow that kind of thing. I definitely got caught up into it, but it wasn't for... See, what happened was the patriarchy did not... They sent me a message, but it was the wrong one. I wasn't swallowing their garbage. What I was swallowing was the idea of being loved. That was it. It wasn't, you know, wrapped up in arms and, you know, held and all that. That's what I was after. But... You know, as I grew up, I definitely didn't want to be the typical female thing. The girls I knew completely turned me off. I didn't hang out with them at all. Mm-hmm. It was something that was yuck. I mean, I just it was like it was false to me, and it was twitty. I don't know how to explain. It was just I didn't swallow it. That's all.
Do you know what did you replace it with? I mean, like the dream of becoming an artist, did that move in around that time? Or were there thoughts of, I want to be independent, I don't want to depend on men? Or what sort of thoughts replaced it if you didn't feel the way they did?
Well, actual, like, I don't want to depend on men happened when I became aware of feminism.
Okay.
Which happened when I started listening to BAI.
So that's recent then?
Well, yeah, pretty recent, to actually putting words to everything. But when I was in junior high, when I started becoming aware of, you know, I don't remember where, it might have been for radio, TV, you start hearing woman power, you know, what are you, a woman's liver, you know, and stuff like that. I was hearing that, and I knew that anybody who said, what are you, a woman's liver, I didn't like, you know. And, you know, my mother would talk about women's rights and stuff like that. It was around. I mean, and the civil rights movement was around, and the peace movement was around in my house. That's mm-hmm. the kind of house it was. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, positive in that area. And so when I was in junior high, I wanted to be an artist. It started then. In seventh, eighth, and ninth grade, I was starting to feel that pull, mm-hmm. and I was working with that. And being an artist, it wasn't a question of being a mother or anything like that. It's just I want to be an artist. Mm-hmm. And when kids would talk about getting married and I'd love to have a baby, I just whoa, I was like, really? You're kidding? And you're only what? How old are you when you're thinking about these things? Mm-hmm. You know,
how old when you begin junior high? Are you 12?
I don't know.
Must be 7th
yeah,
grade.
Yeah, my brother's starting 7th grade. Yeah. You're 12, 13.
So you were 12, and you were born in what year?
58.
I'm writing 58, and you were 12, so that means it was 1970. Mm-hmm. So the women's movement was there, and
yes.
it was strong. And
yes.
You grew up in New Jersey,
yeah.
right? But New York was right next door.
Right, right. New York stations.
And, I mean, I don't mean to imply that the movement wasn't happening in New Jersey either, but I know that in big cities,
it's
things usually
prevalent.
Happen a little bit sooner.
Uh-huh.
So when you said you became aware of feminism when you started listening to WBAI.
Right, as actual word and thoughts and feelings about it were put into feminist words or phrasing, or the things I was feeling were put into concrete, understandable words.
Do you know when that was? Mm. Like 2 years ago or
yeah.
5 years ago? Or
well, it wasn't 5 years ago. It was, let's see, if I graduated. It was about 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
And before that you were, but what about the things like, hey, what are you, a women's liver?
Yeah.
that was before that, right?
7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. All around then. And on till, I mean, you still hear it, you know.
Right. Oh, you sure do. Right.
Yeah.
And were any of your friends... any of the friends that you grew up with, did they also start finding out about what, you know, putting the words to the feelings?
I smile when I think of this. Like, I hung out with, in an eighth grade, I remember girls who were, I was sort of in between twittiness and being myself mm-hmm. and, you know, yelling and screaming about things that I believed in and I thought were wrong. But as I got older, I've always had women friends and all my close friends have been women, and they were all strong, and as I've gotten older they've all become like very feminist minded, and the ones that weren't moved out and
you mean moved out of your life?
Moved out of my life, right.
Uh-huh.
Got into other things, and they may be strong women but not in sort of being feminist conscious, like, you know, thinking about it a lot and really trying to understand, I guess, raising their consciousness. They're mm-hmm. living their lives, and they probably won't swallow some of the lies,
mm-hmm.
but they're still not totally, they're not where I'm at
mm-hmm.
in the direction I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really smart. It's nice, because I think about, like, letters. I've just got a letter from a friend, Donna, and it was like, yeah, right, you know? And she's going along, and she's realizing things more and more, and how, she moved out to Colorado with a guy, and she's realizing, she wrote me a letter saying how, yeah, you know, I need my women friends. I need them just as much,
mm-hmm.
and I need that woman consciousness with me, and
mm-hmm.
I need that growth, that part of me cannot be ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just wonderful. Yeah, that's the kind of people I can relate to begin with,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's the kind of people I attract, and I don't know, they
mm-hmm.
attract me.
Wow, it sounds like it was a lot different altogether.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. I mean, I've heard Andrea Dworkin. I've read her books. I've read so many books and listened to so many programs. And I was thinking, well, where would I be if I hadn't heard all this?
Where do you think you'd be?
Well,
do you think I know that there are many, probably the majority
mm-hmm.
of young women growing up still today, completely outside of the ideas of the movement,
mm-hmm.
of feminist thought, even though it's accessible to them through
yeah.
the books and through the radio, and
right.
but it's not reaching them somehow.
I think with the kind of feelings I've had, I've always feeling sort of weird about, you know, Prince Charming and just everything. I think I would still struggle to be where I am and where I'm going, except it would have been much harder
mm-hmm.
and maybe much more painful. I mean, it's hard now and painful sometimes, but it would have been, like, I think 10 times as hard,
mm-hmm.
you know. I was thinking that, what if I had been born when you were born and grown up in that kind of atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
which was I mean, yeah. And I was thinking, well, then I probably would still arrive to where I am, but maybe you've done it the way you did it. I mean, mm-hmm. maybe I would have gone through getting married and having kids to get to the point where you're at and where, mm-hmm. where I'm going. Yeah.
Well, when I grew up and got married and had the kids, it was still almost 10 years before the movement began. Mm. That's the disadvantage of being as old as I am. The only one. But even so, feminism was around, was alive and growing for a good 2 or 3 years before I decided that it had anything in it for me. Because mm-hmm. And that seems incredible to me now. And I'm trying to decide now whether to tell this horrible story about myself. Should I tell it? Okay. Oh, this is incredible. But if you want to have an example of lack of consciousness, which ain't my fault, it's because of the times I grew up in. Okay, when I was, I guess it was about 1968 or 1969, and the women's movement had just begun, and I was married, and a friend of mine was a younger friend, a woman who was maybe 5 years younger than I was at my house and visiting. She was there with the man she lived with, and I was there with my husband, and she said, "Hey, Irene, what do you think about the women's movement, et cetera, et cetera?" And then, you know, we sort of talked about it, and I didn't say much of anything, and I was pretty derogatory about it, which was how I felt, believe it or not. And she said then, "Well, listen, I'm just getting involved in a consciousness-raising group, and it's going to start soon, and would you like to join it?" And I remember so clearly, I remember where I was standing in my apartment when I said it. I was standing near the door, which I think is symbolic. And they were all sitting on a couch further into the room. And I said, and I quote, "What? Me? I don't need a consciousness-raising group. I'm already a liberated woman." Pause. "And besides, my husband would kill me if I did." And that's a true story. And we all laughed. We all thought it was really funny. And I thought it was funny, too. And some part of my brain heard that joke was on me. Wow. But even so, it took me another year or two. And that friend was sort of a peripheral friend, not a real close friend, a very close friend of mine, extremely close friend, who was living in Boston at the time, who had been living in New York, got involved with consciousness raising and with the movement too. And we had a whole exchange of letters about it, and I put it down in the beginning, and I'm sorry, I can't tell you why I put it down, because I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I would have to get hold of those letters. I don't know what rationale I was using and what I was thinking, but obviously what I was doing was you know, I was the property of the patriarchy, so I was defending the patriarchy. I don't need consciousness raising, and I'm already a free woman. Mm-hmm. You know,
you
and
got
there
free like is secure, which is not true.
Right.
And that's not even secure.
But anyway, we had an exchange of letters, and she said, "I really want to know your opinion, Irene, because I'm thinking of starting this. Tell me what you think is wrong with it." And we had this whole exchange, and she began it. And it took me 3 more years before, 2 more years before I did. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was a long way of answering your question. I mean, maybe if I don't know. And there were women who grew up who are just my age, who the minute the movement came along, they were in it,
yeah.
And they were beginning it. But I was a very successful case of brainwashing.
Yeah. No, yeah, I guess it really depends on area you grew up and your parents and everything. I mean, you know, there are stories. I mean, the people who started the women's movement, you know, the women who started it were obviously a little, they didn't swallow it as much as another woman who would take them like you would take a little longer, you know. So it depends on a lot of things, I suppose. It really does.
Yeah. What I'd like to do now is let's listen to Margie Adam singing "When I Was Growing Up, My Best Friend Was a Unicorn," and then I want to ask you what your thoughts and feelings are now about a whole lot of different areas.